give you a quick little overview of NREL. We're in Golden, Colorado. In the net zero theme, we are a net zero research support facility. It's a 360,000 square foot net zero facility. It's the world's largest net zero office location. And we just opened a new laboratory as what I'm told is the world's most efficient data center. And data centers are a huge load draw. I'm going to speak to the methodology of net zero and the framework that's been established at NREL and with our partners, primarily within Department of Defense, and speak to the Army Net Zero program. And one thing that is interesting is the concept of energy security, and try to differentiate between net zero energy and energy security and how they can complement each other. A little background on net zero energy. It started in 2008 as a task force between Department of Defense and Department of Energy, and it was initiated to help Department of Defense installations become more sustainable. They recognized their role in the community and wanted to see what they could do to produce as much energy on site in distributed ways from renewable sources as they consume, and that's measured over the course of a year. So net zero energy kind of has that sexy name that people grab and say, well, that means I'm energy independent. Well, it's not quite the same. Net zero energy is an energy balance. That means you generate as much on site as you consume over the course of a year, and it can contribute to energy independence to be off the grid, but it's not necessarily the same thing. NREL was the chair of the task force. We selected four installations from each of the services and went through a pilot assessment just to see how viable this is. DOD has a lot of land, a lot of resource. Some of the locations are wonderful. So we did the initial assessments and then developed this framework that really want to capture as a process. It's definitely the journey. It's not an all or nothing. One of the downsides of net zero within some government agencies is that it's considered all or nothing. I have to pay a certain premium to get to net zero, and it may not be economic, but in truth, a lot of times this methodology results in a huge improvement, but not 100% net zero. And that improvement has been recognized as a real aggressive way of reaching energy goals and optimization. Initially, you have to set your goals. Net zero can include thermal, it can include electrical, of course, and transportation. And the group, the stakeholders in the initiative, need to grab their goals at the outset to understand what it's going to do, especially if it's going to involve energy security, because that's an aspect that has to be planned in throughout. You can't really know what you're going to offset unless you are familiar with what your current consumption is in each of the categories you want to offset. The energy efficiency, it's even though we're a renewable energy laboratory, we work within the Energy Efficiency Renewable Energy Office of DOE and recognize that energy efficiency is almost always the first step, the prudent step, the economic step to proceeding towards net zero. The renewable assessment, we look at resources, quite a database at NREL of performance modeling and what the renewable resources are for certain areas, and then bring it all together in the strategy to understand what your component of efficiency will be, what your renewable contribution will be, and then as understanding what capability or desire you have to integrate all of this into a microgrid as you develop your strategy. A lot of motivation toward the development on this side now. You may have a project. We do a lot of research at the lab, but we want to make these projects real, so we do a lot of interface with industry to figure out what the methodology is. BEPTIC, SEROPTIC are just a couple of acronyms about how you develop a project that can be recognized by the development community and be financed. And at the end, you're just trying to get, you understand the load profile, and then you use your efficiency, conservation, and minimize what your on-site consumption is so that you can offset it with renewable generation. Online resources, you can Google NREL, Net Zero, DOD. You'll see a few things, but I put a couple on that are particularly helpful. I thought this is the long version of the Net Zero methodology and how to implement it, use it. So we'll speak to the Army program a little bit. As I said, the net zero concept is recognized as really an aggressive approach to energy optimization. And the Army used it, and they said, what the heck, you know, if we're doing energy, let's do water and waste at the same time. So it's fantastic. It's an aggressive program. Energy, as we said, is the generation on site to offset your annual consumption. And the water piece of it is to return as much water as possible to the same watershed with the intent of trying to balance out your annual consumption. And that's really challenging because just the geography and the location of the aquifers and the watersheds, it's difficult sometimes to even know exactly where your water's coming from. But it is an aggressive program. With the interconnections between the three resources, there's a lot of time spent in understanding that. You need energy to do this stuff, to treat and transport water. A lot of your energy generation technologies consume water, and then you can recover energy from waste or invest energy into waste transport and handling. So they all intermingle in a way that you need to understand if you're trying to do all three. And that's a big challenge for the Army, and they're breaking some new ground in how to evaluate that. Recently, the Air Force announced a net zero policy for all of their installations. And again, a really aggressive initiative. It's fantastic to see the awareness growing in this area. And they also are doing all three resources, energy, water, and waste. So the Army program was defined in 2011. It actually defined it as on-site generation. Didn't specify renewable, but Assistant Secretary Hammack, who has championed the program, has insisted that the generation be renewable at this point. In 12, we did some of the preliminary work, started with the energy audits with the Army Corps of Engineers, and evaluated the renewable options, developed a roadmap for each of the sites, and took away a lot of lessons already. And this year, we're working on developing some of the projects that we identified last year. 19 installations. 6 each of the energy, net zero energy, water, and waste. 2 integrated, meaning energy and water and waste concurrently. And then 1 statewide National Guard organization. Several installations are pulling double duty, Fort Detrick and energy and waste. They're pursuing net zero energy and waste at the same time. Fort Hunter Liggett, same thing. Lewis McChord in Washington has the water and energy. So quite a diverse group here that's participating in various aspects of the program. Within the energy piece of it, there's, again, a lot of diversity. Most of them are continental United States with Kwajalein in the Marshall Islands. It covers the range of Army commands and some real diverse utility areas. You see Fort Carson, Fort Bliss in the middle. They're at 6 cents per kilowatt hour and really challenging to get an economic return on a renewable energy project in that area. And I've had the good fortune to work locally with West Point, which has introduced me to some of the NYSERDA work and some of the great things going on in New York State. It's not the best area, it's so constrained, the West Point campuses, but we've come up with some plans and some ideas that we really think will work there to get them toward net zero, maybe not all the way, but toward net zero. How the Army's looking at it, you can see a lot of similarities. They're looking at the methodology of setting the baseline, pursuing energy efficiency. They've reframed it in Army speak. So first challenge is to understand the process before you can actually work within it. Initially, everything's on grid, electricity, and natural gas, but deploying various renewable projects over the time between 2020 theoretically can get them to net zero. And then interfacing with the development community, like we said, this is the SEROPTIC acronym that's quite useful for just understanding how to communicate with industry, identifying the site at your location, the resource, the offtake. Permits, and that's not necessarily permits when you're talking interconnection and NEPA, but certainly have to be aware of the permits necessary to do the project. And then what the technology is, the team, the capital. Would encourage you to look, if you're interested in project development of renewables, at a brand new playbook developed by NREL Ford DOE. It's called the Large Scale Renewable Energy Playbook. Just released. You could Google Department of Energy, Large Scale Renewable, and you should find it's really useful overview of what we feel communicates well to industry in developing renewable projects. A little dry here, but the lessons learned from the Army Net Zero, quite a few. As I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be all 100%, but 76% isn't too bad improvement in their energy posture. And this is theoretical at this time, as I said, in partnership with the installations and the Pentagon. The renewable energy projects are difficult, low cost of utilities, and then relatively high cost of renewables. And then the premium for energy security, we'll try to speak to that quickly in a minute. It's just right now it does not exist, so that makes it even more challenging. Thermal energy is more challenging due to low cost of natural gas, and new construction can align well with the net zero initiative, have some LEED platinum, LEED gold buildings. If you're gonna do new construction or renovation, that's the best opportunity to support the goal. Energy security, it's defined several ways, but my loose definition here is having a reliable source of power in sufficient quantity to maintain critical functions. And a lot of this work was done for Department of Defense, but it extrapolates really well into communities. And every community has a set of critical functions that you need to keep going for citizens and government to maintain. So maintaining that is a big piece. What's really interesting is how to look at renewables, your blend of renewables for energy security. And we'll take a quick look at that through the lens of a tool we have at the lab. It's called Renewable Energy Optimization. And here's a scenario where you look at a community that has a peak load, 32 megawatts, average load 17, and you blend in all of their renewable resources and land constraints, and you try to come up with your strategy. Initially, economically based, you see, in this case, a recommendation of 18 megawatts of PV, 33 wind, and you have a positive return on this investment. It's a $42 million investment. So in the concept of net zero, if you were pursuing energy security, you might need to deploy dispatchable generation, such as biomass. I'd like to steal a quick quote from the water program. The quote's attributed to Benjamin Franklin originally. And he said, it's not until the well goes dry that you truly know the price of water. Well, energy is the same. And it's not until you don't have it that you realize, what would I really pay for it? And so we take it for granted and really trying to quantify this in a way that promotes renewable energy.